America on the Road, winner of the International Automotive Media Conference Gold Medal Award for Radio, and now in its 24th year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, Mercury Insurance, and the Coalition for Vehicle Choice. I'm Jack Nerad. With me is Chris Teague. Chris is an East Coast-based auto journalist who writes for DrivingToday.com, a number of other websites, an all-around writer. Thanks for being with us, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Jack. Glad to be here for another episode.
Yes, and I'm here on my station on the left coast, the lockdown left coast. You know, the beach is awfully tantalizing, but don't think of going there right now.
Our water is still very cold here, so the beaches aren't quite as tantalizing.
You know, I've been there in August, and the water seemed pretty cold. But our water here is actually cold in August, too. At least colder this guy from the Midwest who's used to the Lake Michigan warming up to, 75 degrees or something like that in the middle of the summer. But we digress, don't we? In the road test segment, we're going to be looking at the 2020 Kia Seltos. Might be a new name to a lot of you, but we'll tell you about that. And Chris, you were driving something that isn't a new name to most people, and that's the Honda Civic, and in your case, the Honda Civic Si version.
Yes, it's kind of a hotter version of the very popular car.
Right. Our special guest today is Haksu Ha. He is one of the lead designers on the all-new 2020 Hyundai Sonata. Fascinating, I think, interview I did with him. At least it was fascinating to me. Maybe it was fascinating to Haksu Ha, and hopefully it'll be fascinating to you, the listener. An interesting take on how you design a midsize car. But before we do any of that, though, let's talk about the news. And I think one factor in the news is car sales are actually picking up a bit, even as we're in the midst of lockdowns in some areas, certainly in Maine and California, two key lockdown states. But in between, the country is opening up a bit.
Yeah, I think some of the deals that are being offered right now are becoming too sweet to ignore for a lot of people, even if they were not particularly desperate for a new car on the fence. So some of those deals are really good, 0% for 84 months, and even on some of the newer models. So I think a lot of people are getting excited about that.
Absolutely, and they're getting to go back into car dealerships a little more than they used to. I mean, April, I think, will be looked at as the month, the most disastrous month in maybe a couple of decades, because sales are down something like 50%. Early returns are sales are down 50% or something like that for the month of April versus April of last year. You know, that's desperate times, but there is more than a breath of optimism. One sign that car dealers believe the worst is behind them is used car prices at auction are going up. So according to J.D. Power, wholesale auction prices grew over 1% on a weekly basis just last week. So, not a big uptick. Of course, 1% over a course of a week is not tiny either. And I think as we enter May, we're going to see sales on used cars and on new cars recover. Some dealers are now opening up to do more conventional operations. Many were just confined to doing online sales for the last month or maybe even longer. So things are changing. Are they changing in the Northeast, do you think, Chris?
I think so, too. And, I think the world of online car sales is a new frontier for dealers and buyers. A lot of people are taken aback or a little bit uncomfortable by that. But nearly every car search website out there right now has a special setup, to help people buy cars online. But as people are able to get back out and start, kicking the tires in person again, I think that'll definitely help things pick back up, especially if these incentives carry on for a bit longer, as it appears they will.
Yeah, I think they're going to be with us probably throughout the month of May, and we'll see how the summer unfolds. We'll also have to see how soon the car factories get cranked up again. There's some talk about cranking them up as soon as the early part of May this month, and we'll have to see whether that unfolds or not. I think there's some pushback, but I think a lot of people, among them Elon Musk, really wants to get back to making cars, and that will affect sales going toward the end of the year. We might have a shortage of cars by the end of the year.
Absolutely. I know that Fiat Chrysler wanted to reopen as soon as next week, but the United Auto Workers Union, not so fast on their end. I think there's a little bit of concern on safety, and then also you know, once they do reach an agreement, then they're, it's just a huge industrial machine that has to pick back up again, suppliers and everything. So I don't think it's going to be as fast as some people really want it to be, but it'll be really interesting to see how they come back online, when they come back online, and what things look like once they're running.
Yeah. And, you know, certainly America wants to get back to work. I think we have something like, what, 30 million people who are unemployed suddenly over the course of the last 6 or 8 weeks. You know, just a incredible number of people who have lost their jobs. Hopefully, most of those job losses are very temporary. Some probably are not. And I think we're going to see some business failures here before long. We haven't heard about any large business failures, but I think a lot of smaller businesses, despite the stimulus money and all of that, those businesses, the sandwich shops, the barber shops, the hair salons, all of those that operate kind of on a day-to-day basis of, here's my revenue, and now I can go get something to eat kind of situation. They're struggling, and I think they will continue to struggle for a bit.
Yeah, it's particularly tough around here with seasonal businesses, but I do think hopefully some of them will be able to make it through.
Yeah, and, certainly Maine and to some extent Southern California, too, depend on tourist business. It certainly is a big business in Maine, and you'd be surprised how big a business it is here in Southern California, despite the fact that the movie business and others kind of get headlines. Of course, the movie business is essentially totally shut down. It's virtually impossible to do any of that with any kind of social distancing. I don't know how you as an actor, do a love scene for a drama show and maintain social distance. It seems impossible, right?
Right.
So that's what we're facing. But I think, sales will get better. The auto business will get better. The plants will reopen. And, I'm hoping by the fall, this will be a dim if painful memory. So we'll see. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about two vehicles that we have driven and road tested over the course of the last several days. I was in the 2020 Kia Seltos. Chris was in the Honda Civic Si. And when we come back, we'll talk to you about both of those cars. So stay with us right here on America on the Road. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nierad back with you, along with Chris Teague, doing America on the Road coast to coast from Maine to California, quite literally, on America on the Road. This is the road test segment of America on the Road, and we have some pretty interesting vehicles, as we try to have each week. The Honda Civic Si is one of my favorites, actually, and Chris, you were driving that, so tell us all about it.
You know, it's really a blast. I can't say enough about the car, you know, especially at the price point. So starting around $25,000, it's a 205 horsepower, 1.5 liter four cylinder. And it's not super fast by any means, but it's definitely quick. It's a lot of fun. It makes the right noises. And, I was able to throw my two kids in the back, not literally, but place them gently in the back. With plenty of room. So it's kind of one of those cars that if you wanted a car to do everything for you and not break the bank, I think it's definitely up there. The expectations, if you have really high expectations, it's not going to perform like a BMW, but it's definitely a fun little car to toss around. And the price is right, like I said. Spent some time up here in the rain. It's got some great, the traction control is incredible. I think that I'm running summer tires on this car, which is a little bit edgy at this point in the year. We're still getting down below 40 at some point, but it handles the curves really well. It's very confidence inspiring. Like I said, if you wanted one car to do it all, I think that's definitely should be on your list.
Absolutely. I think that's a perfect way to sum it up because it's a great grocery getter. I mean, it's certainly extremely reliable, economical to both purchase and own. And then you can have a blast with it on a Saturday morning, when the kids maybe are still asleep or playing or doing something else, and you've got maybe 45 minutes or an hour to yourself to do some driving on curvy roads, it'll handle it. It'll do everything you want it to do. And it kind of amazing, given it's a front drive platform, how good the handling is, isn't it?
I agree. You know, it's one of those things that you could definitely tell it's not a rear-wheel drive car, and you're not going to be flinging around the corner with the tail out. But it definitely, you know, there's a little bit of torque steer here and there, but overall, it's very well controlled. And you know, I'm in my late 30s now, and the styling is just edgy enough to be a little bit rude without being juvenile. You know, some people, the Type R, which is one step above the Civic Si, has a huge spoiler and vents and wings and stuff, and it's a very aggressive looking car. But this one is just, it's kind of the sweet spot for me. I think it's, I'd almost take it over the Type R.
Yeah. And certainly from the looks point of view, you know, a bit more conservative. And I think, you know, as we age, some of us aging have aged a lot more than others, you know, it's maybe more appropriate. My kids say when they see a car with a big wing on it, oh, that's gross. They're girls, you know, I get it. But, you know, they're not wild about cars that us guys think are, wow, that's sporty. I like that. Kind of. It offends them somehow. Well, I was driving a car that I don't think would offend any of my three daughters, and it is the Kia Seltos. It is actually a subcompact SUV, crossover SUV, that competes with the Honda HR-V and the Toyota CHR and plenty of others, you know, a lot of entrants in that category. Did we need another one? Well, maybe, because the Seltos has both style and functionality. It borrows heavily in terms of style from the Telluride. And of course, that was the 2020 North American Utility of the Year. It's kind of like a little version of that, which, you know, maybe sounds weird, but I think when you see it, you'd be impressed. It has a pretty long wheelbase for a vehicle as small as it is, which puts the wheels at the corners, and that's always a sporty look. And it has reasonable ground clearance, too, 7.2 inches of ground clearance. So, you know, I wouldn't call this a major off-roader, but it does have all-wheel drive. And, you know, I would think in the rain in Maine, it would be terrific. We didn't have any rain in California as I was driving it, but it was terrific enough here. I was lucky enough to be ensconced in the up-level version with the 1.6-liter turbocharged direct injection engine, 175 horsepower. So, you know, that's a little bit of a kick. It also has a 7-speed dual-clutch automatic transmission. And I think the cool thing about that is, as you well know, Chris, a lot of dual-clutch automatics are a little bit clunky. The gear changes are a little bash and crash sometimes. They're not great around town. And you've experienced that, haven't you?
Yes, but I will say that I think Hyundai and Kia both have done their dual-clutch transmissions very well. I experienced the Kia DCT in the Soul, I think it was the GT, new Soul, and then also in the Hyundai, in a couple of different Hyundai vehicles, and they've done it very well. It's very smooth, it's very refined, and it makes the car feel a little bit sporty, actually. I think that they've done a really good job with it, and I'd assume the same would apply to the Seltos that I haven't driven.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because that's exactly what I was going to say about the Seltos, so you didn't contradict my heavy thinking on that. Which is good. I just, all around, this is a very likable vehicle. Again, you wonder, do we need yet another subcompact crossover SUV? But it makes a lot of sense. It kind of slots in the Kia lineup between the Soul and the Sportage. And nice interior, digital instrumentation even in the base model. And it has Kia's sound-connected mood lighting system, which is a way to amaze your friends or, you know, drive your kids crazy. I'm not sure how it is connected to the sound. I guess maybe it pulsates along with the beat of the music or something like that. But it's kind of fun, you know, it's clever. And this is not an expensive car either, around $25,000. So I like it a lot, and I think it's a great addition to the subcompact SUV segment. And so people should take a look at the all-new Kia Seltos, if that's the segment in which they're shopping.
I agree.
Well, very good. Well, when we come back, we're going to answer some listener questions. And listeners have great questions, and hopefully we will have equally great answers. So when we come back, look for that, and we'll be right back with you right here on America on the Road. With Chris Teague, this is Jack Nerad. Stay with us. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nerad back with you, and we're going to answer some listener questions right now. We'd love to take your listener questions, so if you want to email us, there's probably a way to do it at Driving Today. So do that. Send your email questions to editor@drivingtoday.com, and we'll field those and answer those on an upcoming show, with any luck. Hopefully, we'll have a good answer for you. Chris, I was asked by a listener recently about compact SUVs, certainly a segment that many people are interested in, populated with things like the Honda CR-V and the Toyota RAV4. What's your thought? What should a guy with a small family, I think he's got one child, maybe 4 or 5 years old, what kind of compact SUV do you think they should be taking a look at?
I think there are a couple that really stand out. I mean, there are dozens, not dozens, there's probably at least a dozen on the market, but the Mazda CX-5 really sticks out for me. Mazda in general has done a very good job of making their vehicles fun to drive, even the crossovers, the bigger ones too. The interior materials are premium. The fit and finish and the construction are great. Even in the lower trim levels, you can get some great options. And I think they have the safety packages that come in the lower trims too. But if you can swing it, the upper trims are almost luxurious. And then I would say second to that for me would be the Toyota RAV4, the hybrid that is out now. The new RAV4, I think it was 2019 that it was overhauled. Feels very spacious inside. It's a very comfortable car. And the hybrid gets incredible gas mileage, fuel economy. Toyota's really kind of come up with their tech game for this year and last. So you can get Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, I think, in there now, which was a big holdback for me in years prior with a lot of Toyota and Lexus vehicles. But I think those two stick out. But you can't go wrong with the CR-V either. So I think those two, and then maybe the CR-V would be a close third for me.
Yeah, I like all of your three picks, and probably in about the order in which you mentioned them. And then one I think is a bit of a sleeper, and it's from a domestic manufacturer, and it's the Chevrolet Equinox. And one of the reasons I like that vehicle, well, there's a couple. It scores really well in J.D. Power's reliability index. And not something people would necessarily assume out of a Chevrolet, frankly, but that is the case. And it is also larger than many of the other vehicles in the segment. And if you want to haul stuff around, larger is better. So that's certainly one to look at. But, my first choice, of course, was the Mazda CX-5 as well. If you have any kind of sporting driver in you, I think you tend to favor that vehicle. And then my middle daughter has a RAV4, and she loves it, absolutely loves it. So those are great choices. So let's skip to another question. And the question is this, certainly we're battling a lot of things. We're battling the coronavirus. We're battling the business shutdowns that accompany it. We're battling economic problems based on that. Is this a good time, do you think, to buy a new car? And is it better to buy right now, or is it better to lease? What do you think?
I think that if you are in a financial position that is somewhat stable, meaning your job is not one that's going to go away or hasn't already gone away.
Yeah, meaning you're not an automotive journalist.
Yes, exactly. So I think, if you're in that situation, right now is a good time, because the deals we're seeing right now, payment deferments with no added interest, long terms, if you want that kind of loan, with 0% interest, we probably won't see those again for a while. The automakers aren't selling a lot of cars, and they really want to get them out there. In terms of buying and leasing, I think that's also specific to your situation, right? So if you're somebody who likes to change cars a lot, you don't have a huge commute where you're piling on the miles, then a lease would probably be good for you. But if you have a long commute, you tend to drive a lot, and you don't want to return your car after, 3, maybe 4 years, then buying is there. But there are deals on both sides of the spectrum right now, so you really can't go wrong either way.
Yeah, although I would say the strongest deals are on the purchase side rather than the lease side right now. I mean, at least that's my take on it. Some of these purchase offers where you can delay payments for 6 months, that's a pretty sweet deal, six months without a car payment. Of course, if you keep your car for a long time, you can actually drive a car without a car payment, too. but most people don't ever get there. But And I guess that's a little bit of the Puritan in me that says, hey, you know, keep your car for a long time and you won't have a car payment, or buy it with cash. You know, a shocking kind of situation. But I think this is actually a, as you say, if your financial position is relatively stable, this is an absolute great time to buy a new or even a used car.
Exactly. I don't think there's any, you know, if you can afford it and you can stay stable, there's no reason not to be shopping.
Well, all right. Well, when we come back, we'll be doing our interview with Haksu Ha. He is the designer, one of the designers of the all-new Hyundai Sonata midsize car. I had a chance to sit down and have a lengthy interview with him recently, so we will bring that to you, and stay with us right here on America on the Road. Well, I think we're in Scottsdale, Arizona, are we not? We're in Scottsdale, Arizona, mm-hmm. Driving the all-new 2020 Hyundai Sonata.
Yep.
With me is Haksu Ha.
Hello.
Thanks so much for being with us. A very distinguished guest and responsible for, well, tell us what you're responsible for.
I'm glad to be here and thank you for your time. I have a dual role at the Hyundai Design Center. So I'm the director for the passenger car interior design studio, but also I'm in charge of the commercial vehicles, interior and exterior.
Ah. Well, a lot of responsibility for such a young man. I think it's terrific. You're obviously a very, very talented designer and manager of designers. I am so impressed mm-hmm. with the new Hyundai Sonata. It's a gorgeous car. Let's go right through the design evolution, how it got to be what it is.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Sonata is one of our legacy product that it's on its eighth generation in the span of about 35 years. And in last three generations, I must say that the pendulum has swung both ends,
right,
covering the full spectrum.
To very expressive and then kind of conservative, and now back to very expressive, correct?
Well, this time it's expressive, but also it's very mature, I must say, mm-hmm. with a lot of substance.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a beautiful design. You know, it's a midsize sedan, not necessarily known to be beautiful, mm-hmm. but I think there's so much about this that is beautiful, including the low hood, low cowl, all of that. Walk us through that, would you?
Okay, so, you know, we talked a little bit about the 2011 YF Sonata that really, you know, first made a big impression on, you know, people here in the States.
Absolutely.
But if you look back at that car, a lot of focus was really merely on the exterior styling. But this 2020 Sonata, must say that it goes deeper in the design philosophy and approach to design. The biggest difference is with this new Sonata, we didn't start with the exterior. We started with the UX, user experience point of view, and that's where the, you know, the driver or the user interfaces the car, and we try to understand, you know, their user pattern. They try to understand their needs, why certain people will still get into sedan and drive a sedan. So that's where we started with the proportion and the basic architecture, and only then we got into the design. So, you know, these days you have so many choices out there. There's so many SUVs and CUVs and tour sedans, and if somebody gets into a sedan, there is a good reason for it. So instead of trying to design a Sonata that tries to do everything well and in the process becomes very, you know, bland and anonymous, we try to design the new Sonata with very distinctive character.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I think the previous generation Sonata, and you talked about that, mm-hmm. got to be that, because you tried to be everything to everybody, yeah, in that vehicle, and I think in this one you didn't.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the outgoing Sonata, I mean, it had a best-in-class package, you know, best-in-class, you know, roominess for the interior, tries to have the best ride and handling quality for everybody. So yeah, so in doing so, it really didn't impress anybody in particular, except for maybe Uber drivers. So yeah, so for this new Sonata, we drastically lowered the silhouette of the car. So, you know, a lot of people can complain that maybe it's not as easy to get in and out of the car. But again, we understood the market, we understood the our target customers, and we wanted to, you know, cater toward those specific needs. So the car is a longer, lower, wider, and the front overhang is shorter, and wheels are bigger. So overall, the car has a much sportier appearance and better stance.
Absolutely. It has a beautiful face as well. It has a just a lovely look all about it, but certainly head-on. Talk about that, would you?
Yeah, you know, more and more, the design identity for each car company is very important. Every company tries to leave very long-lasting impression and unmistakable look for their brand, so that it's a foundation for building customer loyalty and recognition and visual differentiation. So we've been working on this for a few years now, and a few years ago, with the launching of i30, we called our face the cascading grille. It's got distinctive, you know, shape to our grille. And now we added new dimension to it, and we call it a parametric jewel. And you may have noticed it on the face of the Sonata. It's very faceted, mathematical, and yet artistic, you know, cut pattern on our grille. And it catches light and shadow in very unique, different ways. And it just makes the face of the, you know, our Sonata very interesting, and it has a very impactful visual appearance.
Right. Talk a bit about the hood, the lack of a cut line, and then maybe the character line, the lasso.
So, you know, from the get-go, we knew that we couldn't compete against CUVs, SUVs in terms of practicality or utility. And this car, as sporty as it looks, still is not a performance car. It's not a sports car. So it's in that very difficult segment that it had to compete with, you know, many other cars. So we tried
and
to
a very price competitive segment as well.
After all, it is a mainstream sedan. It has to be very price sensitive, and it has to be you know, very competitive in any ways. And the target that we chose was innovation. We wanted to bring a lot of innovation for this segment of vehicle. I mean, innovation is a relative term. You know, things that we apply to this car is nothing earth-shattering for the industry, but for a car company to apply some of those features into this kind of mainstream sedan, I must say it's worthwhile noticing. So like you mentioned, like the hood cut line that does not have the typical cross car fascia cut line is very innovative. I mean, at a glance, you just think that's a simple one reduction of a cut line. But in order to achieve that, we had to change the whole front end module and the latch system. And also to get the hood and fender as low as it is today, we had to put many hours of engineering to relocate and lower the struts and the shock tower and the catwalk and everything else.
Yeah, to achieve that low hood and the low cowl, which is stunning when you see it. It's stunning in pictures, but even more stunning when you see it in real life. Took significant effort. You were aided in this in that you have a new platform to work with, as opposed to trying to rebody an older platform. Talk a bit about that.
Right. We had the fortune of designing the skin of the new Sonata on a brand new third generation platform. And we were fortunate enough to get engaged early on the chassis development stage. So we had a lot of mandates to get the proportion the way we wanted it. Obviously, there were a lot of resistance because most of engineering was already done based on the past data and accumulated, you know, information. So a lot of things that we were suggesting, it made a lot of engineers nervous because it meant deviating from what they knew, and they had to come out of their comfort zone.
How much taller were the original shock towers than you emerged?
Well, the overall car came down in height about 30 millimeters. So within that 0 to 30 range, the shock towers came down, the engine position came down, the cowl position, the latch location, everything came down.
Yeah, and center of gravity came down, and a lot of good things for vehicle dynamics happened because of it, too.
Right. And that's factoring in that the wheel size got bigger, the tire OD got bigger, so it's even more significant because bigger wheels and tires tend to, you know, raise the car, not lower the car.
Yeah. Let's talk about light signatures. There are a couple, at least, on this car.
Giving interesting and distinctive visual look to the skin of the car is easy, but the fact of life is, in daily life, half the times, you know, your car is in the darkness in the evening or nighttime, and a lot of those superficial design cues, they disappear in the dark. So we felt that the light signature was very important, and that can add, another level of design identity to our brand. So Sonata already had a very good start with this kind of heritage, chrome line on the fender and hood. So we just applied a new technology, and we lit up, part of that chrome piece, and that became the, light signature for the front. And to match it in the rear, we have very high-tech, slim LED tail lamp, integrated tail lamp. So from far away, whether you're looking at the front of the vehicle or the back of the vehicle, it's unmistakable that you're looking at the new Sonata.
And they're very elegant, very elegant, I think. I mean, way, way beyond class in terms of the style and the look.
Well, that I got to give credit to our, new or relatively new design management in our team, Mr. Tongkoboke and Mr. Sangyeop Lee. They joined us within the span of last 4 years. They both come from Bentley. So they bring a lot of, elegance and also a lot of design expertise to apply to, our new Sonata.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the rear aspect of the vehicle. I think one of your colleagues referred to it when I was in Montgomery 2 months ago talking about this. Kind of the 405 look of the vehicle, something you see when you're behind the vehicle over, for a lengthy period of time.
Yeah.
Speak about that.
Yeah, the mid-size sedans, they tend to be designed by the marketing people and by the numbers of the interior space volume, the cargo space volume, and safety ratings and insurance ratings and everything. But, people that buy cars, they don't buy by those factors. So we wanted to make every aspect of this car very memorable. So, we talked a little bit about the tail lamp, the integrated look. It gives very wide stance from behind. And also we put those special little details, we call it tail fin, those vortex, fins that improves their dynamics, but also it gives a little bit of that edgy look to it. Mm-hmm. And also the fact that we put that much of a ducktail reverse angle on the rear deck lid, not only did it improves the aerodynamics, but it gives a lot of character to a sedan, in my mind.
Yeah, I was interested that you also increased the overhang in the rear. Mm-hmm. It looks lovely, but that's not something we often hear.
Right. That, again, improves the aerodynamics, but that also gave a leverage to pull the sloping angle from the roof through the C-pillar to the deck lid. So we have a little bit more of a fastback look. Interestingly, one of the journalists asked, you know, if we'd be interested in doing a fastback version of the Sonata. But in our mind, that's a little bit, you know, unnecessary because of the four-door sedan already has the silhouette of fastback.
Right, right. Let's dive into the interior. I know that's close to your heart, and it's a gorgeous interior. And it was executed with the parameters that it had to be affordable, and you had to use materials that were appropriate for this level of vehicle. Talk about that.
Okay. So in order to design this brand new Sonata's interior, we look back a couple generations ago where there was a lot of styling but not enough design. And also we gone through the phase where we tried to make the interior very utilitarian for the, you know, the interaction and the easy to operation and everything. But that kind of killed all the characters that you like to have in an interior. So I wouldn't say compromise, but we took all the lessons learned and we applied them to this interior. So, you know, the busy buttons and the overwhelming numbers of, you know, input devices, you know, got simplified significantly. And also, you know, we still have to be cost sensitive, but we put premium materials where they belong and where they make sense. And also, since I joined the company, I got rid of a lot of unnecessary decorative ornamentations. So if you see today's Sonata, you don't see the typical applique with the, you know, wood, you know, trims or whatever. But instead, the two-color soft-padded upper IP piece itself is almost like a sculptural piece, and that functions as ornamentation. And next to it, we have a very, you know, simply tailored chrome trims to just finish it off.
Yeah, again, elegant, horizontal theme. Talk a bit about the theme versus themes of previous Sonatas.
So the outgoing model had an embedded 8-inch screen, and we wanted to increase the screen size to 10.25, the landscape format, in order to embed that into the overall mass of the IP. Would meant that we'd end up with very massive IP. So we got the screen out of the big, you know, lump of surface, and we made it more like a floating tablet type. That enabled us to come up with a basic architecture of the IP, very slim, very long, very wide. You know, people are used to the interior volume of CUVs and SUVs, and when you get into our Sonata, we didn't want anybody to feel claustrophobic or feel like they're running out of space. So we wanted to give a very open and airy feeling, and in order to do that, designing a slim IP was very crucial.
Yeah, and good looking. And I think you were aided in this too by the fact that you have shift by wire now, and thus that helped the console area.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the reason why we bring in bigger screens and more electronics into car is to just go with the flow of the, you know, current trend and where the customers are going with their daily pattern. So we wanted the car to have remote operation capabilities. We also wanted to open up the console area for larger storage and utility. So in order to do all that, bringing the SBW, the button type gear selector, made a lot of package sense.
Right. You also have very slim vents. Mm-hmm. Talk a bit about that. That I think there's a story there.
Yeah, you know, the effort to make the cockpit slim and wide and also modern, we needed to get rid of some old visual cues that we are all very used to. but they don't help, you know, the modern image of an interior. So instead of three or five horizontal veins, you just see a single horizontal vein on our slim vents. Some people question whether that's enough to direct the air where it needs to go. But if you're a careful observer and you look inside, there are actually three veins. Mm-hmm. Just one is visible, the other two are hidden. So before the pivoting point where the air was bent and directed toward the occupants, that point is far further back in our sonata. So the air is already bent and it's heading the direction where you want to shoot the air. So even though the opening looks slim, the ability to direct the air is still the same.
I want to ask you what your favorite features are. Give me one favorite feature of the exterior and one favorite feature of the interior before we sum up.
Okay, well, you know, the one favorite design feature for the exterior, I think the overall proportion and stand, all that is great, but we're particularly proud of the lighting signature, because that's something that truly unique to our Hyundai brand, and that's gonna set our car apart from the rest of the competition. For the interior, the comment that I've been hearing over and over is for this segment of vehicle, the exterior is extremely premium and luxurious. And you know, we didn't spend more money than our competitors, but we were very strategic about designing the layout and applying the right colors and materials where they belong. And we are particularly proud of the effect that we're getting from it.
Well, terrific. Thanks so much for spending time with me, Haksu Ha.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much for being with us here on America on the Road. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Great talking to you.
Okay. Same here.
And that's our interview with Haksu Ha, talking about the all-new Hyundai Sonata midsize car. Thanks so much to him for chatting with us about that. And my great thanks to Chris Teague, who co-hosted with us again this week. Thanks so much for being with us, Chris.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to next week.
I absolutely do, too. I hope things improve in Maine. I hope they improve here in California and across the country. And we wish you all well wherever you are in this great United States of ours. And join us again right here next time on America on the Road on Driving Today. I'm Jack Nierad.